been baptized, let me ask you something. What next? There was a story last week of an old man who died. I think he was a doctor. And when relatives were searching through his quite substantial house, they stumbled across a garage. And in the garage, there was an old vintage Bugatti car, which was extremely valuable, that no one knew he had. And it had just been left gathering dust for years. Now, as you're being baptized this morning, just something that you have ticked off your must-do list, but now we'll carry on as normal. I hope not. Perhaps there are others of you here and your baptismal day is quite some time away. Perhaps it's so far away you would struggle actually to remember all of the detail about it. Has that day perhaps for you just been something you've ticked off your list, but you've never really gone on from there? You see, we must all progress in our Christian walk. And the theme of baptism is used by the Apostle Paul to explain how we can do it. Now, of those who were just baptized, you perhaps weren't all in here when Steve read for us from Romans chapter 6. Just let me reread a couple of those verses in Romans 6. I'd encourage you, if you have a Bible or if you can see one, have it open, because we're going to use these verses quite a bit this morning. Romans 6. Let me read from verse 3 to 7. Do you not know that as many of us as were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? Therefore, we were buried with him through baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we have been united together in the likeness of his death, certainly we also shall be in the likeness of his resurrection, knowing this, that our old man was crucified with him, that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves of sin. For he who has died has been freed from sin. There was a man who owned a slave, and he mistreated and abused his slave very badly indeed. The slave's life was barely an existence at all. Sometimes the slave craved a better life and made desperate efforts to escape, but he was never able to. All of his feeble efforts were thwarted by his evil master, who always proved far more powerful than he. One day, unexpectedly, a stranger arrived at the master's front door and he knocked. "I've come to liberate your slave," he said, "and to free him from the terrible tyranny that he is under with you as his master." "Oh," said the master, "and how exactly do you propose to do that? My slave isn't for sale." "Bring him to me," said the visitor. Well, the master was quite taken aback at the authority in the man's voice. There was something about this stranger at his door, and he found himself powerless to resist him. And he brought out the slave. And the visitor did something that the master never expected at all. He drew out a gun and shot him dead. The master was rather taken aback. He wasn't expecting that. And the master started to think through about what had just happened. And it dawned upon him that the stranger had just done exactly what he said he would do. Because the master can no longer have mastery over his slave, because his slave is dead. A dead slave is useless to him. The slave is indeed free from his tyranny and has indeed been released from his control. The slave will never again have to worry about any of the commands or instructions that his master gives him. The slave will no longer have to worry about any of the things that the master might ask him to do. Indeed, now that he's dead, he is no longer a slave to that man. He has indeed been set free. You are that slave. Sin is your master. We're all born under sin. We don't become sinful people. We are born with a sinful nature. Children of wrath, the Bible describes us as, deserving only God's anger and punishment and judgment, having turned our backs on him and gone our own way. And verse 6 in our reading tells us that sin is your master and that you are a slave of sin. No matter how hard you try to escape from its grip, you will never do it. Sin's grip on you is too strong. And it will overpower any attempt that you make to escape from it. But God has rescued you, if you're a Christian, from sin. God will rescue you, unbeliever, from your sin. And God's unbelievable solution to rescuing you from your sin is to kill you, that sin may no longer have mastery over you. But how does he do that? How on earth can that be made possible? How is it that I can die, that I might be free? Well, we've seen, haven't we, this picture in baptism. Do you not know that as many of us as were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? Therefore, we were buried with him through baptism into death. Baptism contains the picture of the death that you have undergone. And by this death, sin is no longer your master. Once it dominated you, but now it doesn't. Once it was the controlling influence in your life, but now it isn't. Verse 7, for he who has died has been freed from sin. But that's only half the story. Because you see, what use is it if you're just left a dead slave on the floor? What kind of life is that? It's no life at all, you might be thinking. This isn't really quite making sense. Why would God want to kill me? Well, we've only gone halfway in the story. Let's go back to our story. The old master leaves. Who wants or needs a dead slave? Off he goes. Just leaves the body there. Who cares? He treated him badly enough when he was alive. He's not going to treat him any better when he's dead. Just leaves him. But the stranger who visited that day, he's still there. And he does a most remarkable thing after the old master has gone. He reaches down. He takes the slave by the hand. And the most remarkable miracle takes place. As life courses once again through the body of that dead slave. And the visitor picks up the man and stands him to his feet. And he looks him in the eye. And he says, "Where is your old master?" And the slave is just astonished and he looks around. I don't see him anywhere. No, you don't. Now you're mine. You belong to me now. And the stranger smiles so kindly at that man, he's never seen a smiling face like it. And he says to that slave, follow me. And there's something about that voice. He follows him. And this stranger is his new master. But what a difference. What a difference. Such kindness. Such generosity. Such patience. Such gentleness. Such compassion, like he's never known. And what wisdom and awesome power this new master has, that he's been able to do to this slave what he's done. So different now, being a slave to this new master. Why? It's almost like being his son. Do you know what it is to be a child of God? It's the most wonderful thing. And this is you now. You who have proclaimed Christ. Because not only have you been joined to Christ in his death, you've been joined to Christ in his resurrection. And you live that new life in Christ. This is a great mystery in the gospel that the Bible teaches us about. This amazing union that exists between Christ and all who will trust him. All who will turn from their sin and follow him. An amazing union takes place that is beyond our understanding, but we just embrace it gladly. Verse 3 of our reading in Romans 6. Just have a look at these different phrases as we make our way through a few verses. Just look at them. Read them with me. This is our union with Christ. Verse 3. Baptized into Christ Jesus. Verse 4. Buried with him through baptism into death. Verse 5. We have been united together in the likeness of his death. Verse 6. Our old man. That's not my dad. That's our old sinful nature. It was crucified with him, that we should no longer be slaves of sin. And then there's the other side of the same coin. Verse 4. Just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. Verse 5. We also shall be in the likeness of his resurrection. Verse 8. If we died with Christ, we believe that we also live with him. When Paul writes to the Ephesians, he gives a little bit more information on these things. You might just like to have the book of Ephesians open in your Bible if you want to just turn there in a church Bible, page 1037. Actually, just over the next page, 1038 for the verse I just want to bring to your attention. Ephesians 1, verses 4 and 5. Speaking again of this amazing union that exists between Christ and those who will trust him. Just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestined us to adoption as sons by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will. You were united to Christ in God's decree of election even before the first day of creation. That's the mystery of your union with Christ. Even back then, you were known to him. He loved you. He'd set his compassion upon you. Even back then, he'd purposed to send his son to die for you. Remember the angel announcing, Jesus, that's his name, he will save his people from their sins. Who are those people that he will save from their sins? It's those people who, even before time began, were chosen in Christ by the Father. They're the people he died for. The perfect life that Christ lived, God reckons it to be your life. His righteousness imputed to you. Imputation is kind of the opposite of amputation. You all know what amputation is. Amputation is when something which is yours, you lose, it's cut off. Imputation is when something which is not yours, you gain and is put on. Christ's righteousness is imputed to you. It's a righteousness that you do not have and can never have, but God gives it to you. He puts it on you. The Bible uses the picture of it being like a robe that he wraps around you. Christ's righteousness put to me, put to my account. This is the mystery of the union that we have in Christ. When Christ died at Calvary, we can see clearly in the scriptures that God reckoned that to be your death too. Jesus did die for sinners. In the book of Romans, in the previous chapter to the one that we were looking at, we read that God demonstrates his love towards us. How? In that whilst we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Yes, he died for us. But not only did he die for us, we died with him. She read before, that's why I wondered whether he'd sneak in my notes, Galatians 2:20. What did Paul say? I have been crucified with Christ. It's no longer I who live. Christ lives in me. See? Yes, Christ died for us, but we died with him. We've been united to him in his death and in his resurrection. And that's how he brings us new life. A wonderful thing. In Ephesians chapter 2, listen to this. Even when we were dead in trespasses, God made us alive together with Christ. That's what it is to be a Christian. And that's what's being symbolized in baptism. As they go down into the water and are raised again. These are the amazing truths of the gospel that we have in picture form. The reality in the lives of Chi and Ben and Luke and Josh and many others here this morning. And this can be a reality in your life too, if you will but turn from your sin and trust in Christ. Even when we were dead in trespasses. Now that slave was dead. A dead person can't make themselves alive, can they? A dead person can't even want to be alive. Hey, a dead person doesn't even know they're dead. There's nothing there. But God comes, and God brings life to the dead. Salvation is all of God. By grace, you have been saved. And so back in the book of Romans and in chapter 6 where we were reading before, did you notice what Paul concluded in verse 11? Likewise, you also reckon yourselves to be dead indeed to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Chi? Ben, Luke, Josh, what next? reckon yourselves to be dead to your sins, but alive in Christ. And that leads me back to the final part. Let's just go back to our slave for a second. He's out on an errand one day for his new master. And he turns the corner. And he comes face to face with the old one. His old master is still around. His old master is intimidating. His old master wants to do him down. His old master is as cruel and abusive as ever. What is he to do? He must call to mind the reality of the situation. He must call to mind the reality of his relationship with his new master. He must take full account of who he is now. That's what reckon means. Reckon. It's an old banking term. And I'm an old banker, more ways than one. One of my early bosses in the bank, at the end of the working day, used to shout to the cashiers, "It's time to reckon up your tills." The very words he used, "Reckon up your tills." What did he mean? He meant this. You can tell me how much money should be in the till. Prove it to me. Show me that it's true. Get the cash out and show me that what the paperwork says should be there is there. Reckon it. Show the reality. Prove it to be true. Reckon yourselves to be dead to sin. Show that it's true. Prove the reality of it, because now you're alive in Christ. And that's the key. When sin comes our way, when we stumble across our old master, remember, you're not my master anymore. Christ is. I am no longer your slave. I'm a slave of Christ. You no longer have any authority or jurisdiction over me whatsoever. Christ does. Reckon it. Cling to Christ. And by God's Spirit and through his word, live the life that God has called you to live. And by his grace, and by his power, you can. And by doing that, verses 12 to 14 in Romans 6 become possible. Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body, that you should obey it in its lusts. Do not present your members as instruments of unrighteousness to sin, but present yourselves to God as being alive from the dead, because that is what you are. And your members as instruments of righteousness to God. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for you are not under law, but under grace. Chi, Ben, Luke, Josh, every other believer here this morning. The old master is lurking. He's cunning. He's intimidating. He's persistent, and he is evil. But do you see that in Christ you have everything that you need to say no. We've seen how in baptism there is this wonderful picture of dying to your old self. You must make that every day a reality in your life. While the pool is open behind us, we have this picture for us of dying and being raised to newness of life in Christ. You need to leave, as it were, your old self buried in the depths of that pool. All your old sinful nature, everything that's in you that you know goes against God's word, everything that's in you that you know offends him and grieves him, leave it behind in the depths of that pool. And we'll put the covers over. You forget all about them. Follow Christ. Will you do that? You're in Christ, you see. He is your life. And your life, actually, from now on as a Christian, is Christ living his life out in you. Will you let him do that? Just let him do it. What a wonderful thing the cross of Christ is. Not only has it freed us from sin's condemnation, but it's broken the power of sin over us, that we might live for God. Will you live for God this week? Remembering who you are. Remembering what God has done for you in Christ. And to those perhaps, and you know these things aren't a reality in your life, maybe there's things you've heard this morning you've never heard before. Maybe no one's actually been able to take the time to explain to you that this is what the gospel is all about. Well, we offer Christ to you this morning. Because that's all I have to offer. I have no grand plan. Our newspapers, I don't know if yours is like mine, it's full of all kinds of, here's the new diet for the new year, here's the new regime for the new year, here's the new everything for the new year, the new fitness plan for the new year. I don't have some kind of grand scheme like that that I can put in a newspaper. All I can offer you is Christ, that you might die with him, to be raised again to newness of life in him. This is the gospel. A mighty mystery we set forth, a wondrous sign and seal. Lord, give us hearts to know its worth and all its truth to feel. Death to the world, we thus avow. Death to each sinful lust. The risen life is our life now. The risen Christ, our trust. Baptized into the Father's name, we're children of our God. Baptized into the Son, we claim the ransom of his blood. Baptized into the Holy Ghost in this accepted hour, give us to own the Pentecost and the descending power.